would I go back to the character that I was introduced to the world in, where I had a bionic arm and got to kick ass?
Hey folks, welcome back to the Blurred Girl podcast. My name is Kara Mahorn, aka The Blurred Girl, and I'm so happy you're listening today. I'm also really excited about today's guest, Simone Missick, because she's one of my faves. Most of you remember Simone when she played Misty Knight back over on Netflix, and believe it or not, that was her first major lead role. But today, she is lead actress and now executive producer on All Rise, which is over on OWN, Oprah Winfrey's network. I cannot wait to share this discussion with you. But first, let's pay some bills. Since the pandemic started, I've gotten much better at finding ways to relax. No longer a guilty pleasure, finding time to stop work and get off social media and unwind is now mandatory. And one of the ways I do this is by listening to audiobooks on Audible. Now, some of my favorite authors and past guests, like N.K. Jemisin, Daniel Jose Older, Ashley C. Ford, and even the guys from Black Nerd Problems have books on Audible. Audible even has scripted podcasts like Neil Gaiman's Sandman and the brand new Sandman 2 featuring James McAvoy, John Lithgow, Reggie Jean Page, Kat Dennings, David Tennant, and Jeffrey Wright. And you know what else? Audible also has sleep stories. I love listening to those in bed when I'm having trouble shutting my brain off after a busy day. It's a really great way to get some sleep. But don't take my word for it. Check out Audible for yourself. In fact, if you sign up today, you get a 30-day free trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. That's audibletrial.com/theblerdgurl. Now back to the show. Okay, so apparently we're in August, which means we are just over a month away before my first book, Marvel's Protectors of Wakanda, A History and Training of the Dora Milaje, drops for the world to read. And if you click the link in the show notes, you can pre-order your own copy now. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the Blurred Girl podcast on your favorite podcatcher. And please consider supporting the Blurred Girl Patreon. Not only does it help me create the podcast and my other content, but I'm also raising money for my book tour, so donate if you can. When actress Simone Missick landed the lead role in courtroom drama All Rise on CBS in 2019, she made history. All Rise became CBS Network's first Black woman-led primetime show in the history of the network. For those doing the math, CBS launched on the radio in 1927. Despite incredible writing and an equally impressive writer's room, due to the pandemic, the series was canceled in 2021 before being picked up by OWN that same year. Last month, the series premiered season 3 on Oprah's network, and not only did the show make some major changes, casting among them, but Mama Oprah granted Simone the title of executive producer. In this chat, I talked to Simone about what it's like playing Judge Lola Carmichael, the responsibilities that come with being an executive producer on your own show, and what it's like working for OWN. Also, we discuss why she's so proud of All Rise and how the show has proven that inclusion works, both in front of but also behind the camera. Up next, my interview with actress and executive producer, Simone Missick. So, Simone, the last time we actually spoke on a podcast or live stream, I believe it was VirtuousCon way back in February. Season 3 hadn't quite launched, but here we are with your new season of All Rise. How does that feel?
Well, we're coming up to the midway. The midway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels so great. It feels really great. I'm very proud of what we are doing. I'm really proud of how we are operating creatively in this third season and the way that we are going home with these characters and exploring their personal lives and their parents and their families and their backstories, and also still bringing the same level of care and concern about telling stories about people who come into our courtrooms and highlighting the issues that exist within our criminal justice system. And then still you know, allowing for our fans to laugh and to breathe and to ride, you know, the Lola coaster, as we affectionately call it. But I just think that everything from the hair and the makeup and the costumes to the music and the editing and the storylines and the writing and the directing, I just really feel like everyone is really doing an awesome job. And I'm thankful to be able to do it on own.
You just said hair and makeup and everything. So I have to ask you about episode 8, that dream sequence. How much fun was that? Because yes, it was a dream sequence, but I'm looking at like the hair, the makeup, the Birkin bags, the assistants. I'm like, my God, how much fun was that planning that out?
Oh my goodness. It was insane. It was insane because, you know, when our writers pitch like, oh, we're doing a Lola through the looking glass, sliding doors kind of episode, I thought, oh, that's great. That sounds fun. And you read it and you're like, oh, that's amazing. This is so much fun. This is crazy. Like, oh, wow. And then the character's going to do this and do that. And then you look at the schedule and realize that I am in 36 of 38 moments. Mm-hmm. So there was no time off. I was in literally every scene, just about every day, sun up to sundown. It was exhausting, but I believe that the execution of it, like you said, from the Birkin bags to the Balmain shoes to the hair flowing all the way down my back, like all those bundles, the smoky eyes, the bright lips, the, you know, everything. It was just, it was so fun. And it was fun to, you know, Lola's living in Martha's Vineyard and her and her husband are taking a jet to LA. I mean, you know,
right, to hang out with the Obamas, like
right. Come on. Like that's a great little fantasy to diverge from, you know, in the season. And you, Lola dreaming about a threesome in the bed.
I know. And I was cracking up. I said, they probably had so much fun on this.
Oh my gosh. We had so much fun. And the guys, Christian and Sean, are just, they're so great. They're so fun to play with. And, you know, our fans finally got to see Ruthie Ann Miles and Lindsay Mendez sing.
Yes, that was my next thing. Yeah,
if they hadn't caught them winning Tonys on Broadway, they finally got to see them, you know, belt it out, which our fans have literally been asking for since season 1. And every season we're like, are we going to have a musical episode? Are we going to have a musical episode? Because everyone, with the exception of me, sings in our cast. Everyone from Lindsay Gort to Jessica Camacho, obviously our Tony winners. Everyone, Samantha Marie Ware was on Glee. Like, everyone sings and can sing. Jay Alex can tap dance and sing and play the piano. Like, everyone in our cast is super musically talented. I would rap. But
even Wilson.
Wilson plays the guitar and can sing. Everyone. So I think, you know, that this was the beginning of we've jokingly been saying that we're gonna have a cruise ship episode where all of the cases take place on a cruise ship, along with cases every week.
That's awesome.
It's never going to happen, but it's hilarious.
Right. I was going to say, we're still in the panorama, but yes.
Right. Yeah.
Now, actually, speaking of Wilson, the most recent episode, I think by the time this goes up, episode 9 was directed by Wilson Bethel.
Yes.
So this is another way of also showcasing talent on the show. Are mm-hmm. you going to have more of the actors write and direct as more seasons? Putting it out there as more seasons happen.
Come on, put it out there. I think Wilson had been, you know, putting that bug in since the beginning, since the first season. And there are a couple of us who want to direct. And I definitely think that what better way to take care of these characters than with the people who have been living with these characters for these past 3 years. So I certainly see that happening. Like, in addition to Wilson, who did an amazing job, you know, episode 9, I think he just took such great care of that story. And that episode was written by a young lady who, her name is Nicole Festy. She started out as a writer's assistant in our writer's room. And this is her first episode of television. And so our show has always been about elevating the people that work within the show and to give them a step up. We have two other directors this season who are first-time directors who come from our editing department. Martina Lee, who's a director, but she is an editor as well. And then D'Antonio Alvarez, who has our post-production department. Like, they both got to direct episodes. So I know that, you know, in future seasons, more of us will be jumping behind the camera and not just in front of it.
Yeah. And you've also, I feel like, taken those steps also even with casting. I mean, Roger Guinevere Smith, Jeffrey Owens, like, you're bringing work to some actors that have been in the game for a long time. How does that feel?
Man, so good. When we were trying to find Judge Marshall, I literally was like, we were going, you know, you as producers they get lists, you mm-hmm. know, and we were going through our lists and we were like, and I was like, who do I love? Like, who do I love that I think is just amazing that I wanted to work with? And I was like, Roger. I had seen Roger. I've been watching Roger, you know, damn near my whole life, from every Spike Lee movie he's ever done and beyond. But I also had been seeing Roger do one-man shows around Los Angeles for years. And he is just a phenomenal talent. And so when I, you know, popped his name in there, everyone was like, yes. And Owen was like, absolutely. And that, you know, that to me was just like producer feather in my cap. So proud and thankful to be able to bring him to our show because, you know, he is Roger Guinevere Smith. Like, he is one of the greatest talents that we have on screen and on stage. We have got just some amazing actors. Jeffrey Owens in this role that I don't think anybody would have seen, you know, coming.
No, I mean, he was so creepy. I was just shocked, but he's so versatile.
He is so versatile. He's another New York theater actor. So they got a bunch of tricks, you know what I mean? But it is really been great to have phenomenal actors come and play on our show and give us, and we've had it since the first season, you know, we've had mm-hmm. great actors, but this season it just really feels special because I know that some of those characters that make it to screen, I was the one that was like, hey, can we possibly maybe get this person? And it's been happening.
It has. And in fact, in terms of casting, let's go back to the beginning of the season, because so many things changed when you made the jump to Owen, and for, you know, a variety of reasons. What was more daunting, taking on the added responsibility of becoming an executive producer on the show or having to recast your husband? After we all got to know him and after he had the baby.
I know. And it was a real a heartbreaking thing because I love Lola and Robin, and Todd Williams is just such a lovely actor and a wonderful person. And, you know, he just helped audiences to really fall in love with that relationship. And so to have to recast and try to find, you know, lightning in a bottle again, it was a little daunting. But I will say, you know, we came across Christian and my husband was certainly the one who was like, Simone, I really think that he is going to be the perfect guy. Like,
wait, I think your real life husband, like Dorian Missick.
My real life husband, Dorian Missick, was like Dorian Crosby Missick said, I really think that he is going to be the person. He's funny. He's, you know, women like him. That's always Dorian's thing. Women like him. He keep his hair cut. He clean. and he really said, he was the one who put the bug in my ear. Like, he's like, he's a Christian. He's a good person. You know, his name is Christian, but he's a good person too. And so I was like, okay, you know, we'll see. And he was filming. And he literally got them to finish filming so that he could rush to his trailer. I don't know where they were shooting, but to rush to his private space. He's got his phone like on a box and is trying to like do this audition. And so he was such a good sport about, you know, working and coming on to do this and to do this meeting. We were short for time and he was short on time too. And he came in and he just knocked it out of the park. And I think that, you know, he's been, for me, just a lovely teammate, as we call it, you know, just a really great partner to do this on own with. You know, he's certainly always game to show his abs, which is great. I think the women on own are going to like it.
Yeah, it's not a problem. We don't have
episode 10 coming up. I don't know if y'all going to be able to keep your hats on your head. They're going to be on fire running around the house. But, you know, just yesterday we were filming a scene and I was like, okay, can we use your thigh meat today? Because I don't feel like having my, I don't feel like having my legs out the covers. And he was like, don't worry about it. And then they were like, well, we want to pretend like, you know, you don't have on anything underneath. So do you mind bringing the covers down just a little bit? He's like, you got it. I'm like, thank you, Christian, for being a blessing.
You got the best job.
I mean, the other wonderful thing with him, you know, especially in this episode that's coming up, episode 9. We see Lola and Robin have a for real argument. You know, we've seen them have a spat before, but this is like an argument. And I remember when we were getting ready to film this scene, I said to him in the trailer, I was like, what do you think? Do you think this is like on a scale of 1 to 10? He was like, I think it's about a 6, 7. I was like, really? He said, what do you think it is? I said, I think it's about a 12. And he was like, oh, okay. Christian comes in, take one, and his 6 or 7 is my 25. I was like, what?
Yeah.
He ready to bring it.
But you know what's funny is that it was really needed though, because you kind of saw that slow build all season. I don't want to give it away, but there has been something simmering just beneath the surface, and it's very relatable. Again, everything on this show is so relatable.
Absolutely. I don't know how it would have been handled anywhere else, but I'm thankful that we're doing it in this way on OWN, where it just feels authentic and real and grounded and relatable. These are real human beings who are having a fight, and we're not being precious about anything because this is inside their home. We're not thinking about, will the audience be okay with seeing them fight? It's like, no, this is the reality of this couple and this marriage. So it's been great this season, I think, especially for me, exploring Lola's home life and her family life in this way.
Last couple of questions. All Rise always deals with timely topics, but this season you really had some hefty discussions. Besides Lola's relationship with Robin, are there any that stand out to you, any conversations or scenes, even ones you might not have been in, that really stand out to you?
Man, so we have definitely touched on the sexual assault and consent, and the way that social media can influence. This past episode that we are currently filming, deals with sexual assault and the fact that in the criminal justice system, if a victim is considered less attractive, they are less likely to secure a conviction with sexual assault because people are biased and they don't believe that that person could have possibly been raped. And so we showcase that this season. We have, to me, really, really dealt with things that are particular to women, which I think is so important on a network like OWN that is very female driven and woman centered. And yet, you know, we have dealt with everything from wrongful convictions that happens each and every day, tragically, in our country, and we don't get the, we don't always find out, you know, until it's too late that someone served 30, 40 years in prison for a crime that they didn't commit. And so that has been, I think, for me, just a real exciting part of these stories that we tell, that we continue to try to tell, the way that personal bias, you know, really affects the way that people get justice in this country. And I think that that's what we have highlighted this season. You know, we always try to talk about cases that are present. You know, we've talked about everything from ICE in the first season to the people who are unfortunately affected greater by the impact of COVID in 2020 and the recession and police brutality. We've gone through all that. And this season, I think we're really leaning into how bias in everything from schools and what schools are able to teach and how that is being handled. We have an episode coming up where Lola and Benner have a very important conversation about that, about how, you know, we are questioning what is being taught in schools, but not from a place of how can we make sure that children get a better education, but from a place of, well, this is not considered whiteness, so this is not considered valid. I really think that this season we have leaned into the way that bias is shaping what is happening in our country and what is happening on an individual level, and how much those stereotypes and deeply held beliefs can impact a person's life and completely change it for the, you know, not for the good.
And my last question is for all the geeks out there. If timing works out right and Disney Plus decides to give us a new Luke Cage, would you guest star as Misty again?
Would I go back to the character that I was introduced to the world in, where I had a bionic arm and got to kick ass? I think the answer is in the question.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to me. I'm so excited about this. And I cannot wait until episode 10 for multiple reasons.
Everybody gonna be hot.
But I'm very, very excited for you. And I'm so excited that the show is being so well received. And I'm putting it out there. Let's get another season on OWN going.
Let's get another season. I'm with you. I am with you.
Okay, well, I know what I'm going to be doing next Monday. Clearly, I'm going to be watching the mid-season finale of All Rise and all its steaminess. And you should do the same. All Rise airs on OWN every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to comment and subscribe on this podcast. Pre-order my book, Protectors of Wakanda, and sign up for your free Audible trial subscription at audibletrial.com/theblurgirl. See you next time.